Walk through any store and you'll see false messages about purity. You'll see immodest dress on magazine covers and advertisements for movies and CDs, let alone on the people shopping around you. Well, how do you raise a daughter to value purity in this kind of environment? This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss for Thursday, July 7th. Nancy, moms and grandmothers really need to hear today's subject.
I sure do, Leslie, and I am so excited about this effort that we're launching this week on Revive Our Hearts and what it will do to help teach the next generation of young women about the whole subject of modesty and purity. And that help has come to us in the form of a book for children called The Princess and the Kiss, and in the form of a workbook that Revive Our Hearts has developed to go along with The Princess and the Kiss. The workbook is called Life Lessons from The Princess and the Kiss. And the workbook is designed to help moms and daughters read the book together, discuss it together, and talk about some really important issues in the lives of these young girls. And then after a mom and a daughter go through this study, there's a very special princess ceremony at which time the moms bless the daughters and pray for them. I had a chance to talk with a group of moms and daughters who've been through the study and through the ceremony together and to hear about the impact that it made in their lives, not only in the daughters, but on the moms as well. And we're going to hear from some of those moms and daughters on the series this week. I also was able to talk with Jenny Bishop, who is the author of The Princess and the Kiss, and I asked her how she originally came up with the whole idea.
It really was just the simplest way imaginable. I know that most mothers have knelt at the bedside of their child and prayed for them at some point or another, if not every night. And there was one particular night where I was praying over my daughters. My daughter, Vashti, who's 11 now and was probably about 7 at that time, was attending public school as a kindergartner and had come home talking about her friends and how she needed to have a boyfriend because her friends had boyfriends, about how one little girl's boyfriend had been stolen by another little girl. And my heart was just so troubled by that because I recognized how young she was, how young these friends were. And that night, I prayed for my girls that God would show me a way to teach them about purity and saving themselves for marriage now, because I recognized that I couldn't wait until they were teenagers, that it would be too late by that time. And I just really wanted God to show me some particular way that I could really make an impact on them at a young age. And I shouldn't have been surprised, because I was a writer at that time, that the answer came as a story. And in just a few days, I had the ideas for a story that became The Princess and the Kiss. Well, it begins with a princess being born to a mother and father who were
king and queen of the mountain and all the green valley below. The king and queen loved the little princess even before she was born. On the day she came into the world, the royal couple gave their daughter a very special gift from God, her first kiss.
And they save it for her, keeping it in a castle tower until she becomes a young woman. And then when she's of age, they present her with the kiss and say, now it's yours to keep or to give away as you see fit. And then there are princes who come and present themselves to the princess's suitors. And it's about her decision, about how she comes to find the man that God had prepared for her. I shouldn't spoil the story by telling how. But it's about passing that legacy of saving yourself for marriage and looking for the right partner on to our children and their children someday too.
God gave this gift to you on the day you were born, said the queen, because he loves you so dearly. And now, continued the king, this kiss is yours to keep or to give away as you see fit.
And I've been amazed to find that there are so many other mothers who had the same prayer on their heart, and that God's been using the book to touch those families as well.
This book allowed me to teach Caroline right thinking about physical intimacy and kissing, even though we guard her from watching it in an immoral way. we still wanted her to know that it's a good thing. It's just not a good thing in that setting, but it's a gift from God. So all it allowed us to teach the right spin on what we were teaching was wrong, 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 wrong.
The princess stared in amazement. Well, she had never before received such a wonderful present.
The kiss is like a light that's underneath a bell jar. And so it gives the reader lots of opportunity for discussion, or the mom and the daughter, opportunity for discussion on what the kiss actually is and what it actually means. And so you can draw from that, you know, the physical kiss, but also our wholeness and giving ourself to someone and what that means. The whole point was to make the kiss something that just had an incredible sense of value that you would never want to spoil or just give away thoughtlessly.
But use wisdom, my daughter, warned the king, and save your kiss for the man you will marry.
It's talking to me about how I need to ask my parents, so it gives me more time to be with my mom so I can ask her those questions and read with her.
The wise little princess took her father's words to heart and kept the kiss safe in the castle tower. But there were many days when she went to gaze at her precious possession. She wondered how she could ever give it up.
This whole book is just so exciting to me because it takes a concept that was so foreign to me and really, I think, to my generation, and it takes it, it makes it practical and just broadcast it.
You see so many families with just single moms anymore, and seems like they're always looking for a way that they can connect with their children without having the father figure there. I think this is a tool that we can put in their hands. Something practical, something attractive, something that they can do with their kids. In the absence of a father, they can point them to their Heavenly Father.
Like the moms we just heard, Susan Henson has a heart for teaching purity to the next generation of young women. Susan is a friend of mine, and she works part-time with Revive Our Hearts. And one day while she was reading The Princess and the Kiss, she came up with an idea.
I was just reading it to my grandchildren, a girl and a boy. And so I was reading it for the very first time. And I was just really like, Jenny, this came from a grandmother's heart as I was reading it to my grandchildren and walking through this with them and stopping along the way and discussing it. So really, as a result of just reading this story over and over again, which is their favorite book, I began to write down all the discussion questions that opened up the doors for so many wonderful opportunities of conversation and opportunities just to share my heart with them. And I just began to write those down. And so really it came as a result of just having a grandmother's heart of, I want to invest into my grandchildren's lives now that there's other moms and out there that they're not training their children. And I look at my grandchildren, I can have an investment even into my grandchildren's lives.
Susan organized those discussion questions and found that there were a lot of principles she wanted to pass on. She called each principle a life lesson and used those life lessons as the basis for a guide for moms and daughters to go through this book together. It would eventually be called Life Lessons from The Princess and the Kiss. And this came as a surprise to Jenny Bishop, the story's author.
It was very funny how it all came to pass because Susan came to me and said, did you know there are 21 life lessons in The Princess and the Kiss? And I had written the story knowing that God was working through it somehow, but you couldn't have told me that there were 21 life lessons in there. So it was wonderful to begin taking a deeper look. And even now, just today in the car, we were talking about things that just can be discussed out of a few words of that story, how God has just put a certain anointing on that book to be able to be used for this purpose and how those life lessons can be pulled out of there. So then we began to work together to develop the book. And now with the reports from the moms, isn't it wonderful?
This was so timely for us. I had been praying for the last month and a half, God, please give me wisdom in how to answer these questions about purity so I don't say too much at 8 years old. And since I had 5 boys, my husband took care of that. But now it's my privilege to teach her. As she asked these questions, this book kind of walked us through helping some of those.
It made
made me feel like I could just come to her whenever I needed something or whenever I had a question about this kind of thing, because she understood, and she, when she was my age, she struggled with the same kind of things that I've struggled with, and she understands, and so it made me feel like I could go to her and she would have the right answer.
When I asked her last night what this study meant to her, she said, "You and Daddy could teach me to save my kiss and to save my purity. But this book confirmed that it's the right thing, that it's what God wants for me."
Finally, there came a day when suitors began to appear, asking for the princess's hand in marriage. The first man who came to court her was Prince Peacock. "See the great muscles I have, princess," he said. "I will always be able to save you from danger. I can run faster and jump higher than any other prince in the world. I am mighty."
When we talked about the qualities she wanted in her husband, she related all of them. At first she said, "Well, whatever Daddy is." And I said, "Well, tell me about Daddy. What are the qualities that you like, you know, that you see in your dad?" And the things that she shared, that he spent time with her, he dated her, that he prayed for her, that he read the Bible with her. Those are the same things that she wanted in a husband.
Who was this man? He seemed common, yet kindness was in his manner. Strong and handsome, his hands were rough from working in the king's fields, and his face was tanned from the sun.
I liked writing down the qualities of a husband that we want, and God also convicted me of qualities that he wants put in my life and that I've kind of locked away. And that I shouldn't be, just because I write down that stuff, I don't have to go look for someone right now for those qualities, but that I need to be patient and wait for God's time.
The book put feet to my mission and showed me the path that I need to be taking. And this is just a beginning for us. This is just the very first step for us in a very long journey. But I've got to jump in this battle for my daughter's heart.
We've been hearing from moms and daughters who've gone through a study that we've developed here at Revive Our Hearts called Life Lessons from the Princess and the Kiss. I asked Jenny Bishop to tell us about some of these life lessons.
Well, the first one in the book, I believe, is that God loves you so much. And that's the whole point, is that there's a reason for you to protect your purity. And it's not that God's putting all these rules on you and it's not going to be any fun. It's that God really cares about you. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the jumping off point for everything, because when it's discussed in an atmosphere of love, then it's like, oh, this is a good gift. This is a treasure. This is something I can be happy about and excited about instead of another rule I have to live with. So that's the way it begins.
The king and queen loved the little princess even before she was born. On the day she came into the world, the royal couple gave their daughter a very special gift from God, her first kiss. While the princess was growing
Here's Susan
up,
Henson.
One of the things that we wanted to do is to lay down that foundation of love. And as we start with God's love, the second lesson really deals more with, just as the king and queen loved the princess so much, even before she was born, we wanted to then begin the process of allowing the parents to begin to share with their daughters how much they love them.
Right, and then responding to the authority of the parents with submission and being able to recognize that the parents really do want the best for you, how it's so important to consider if your parents say, "We just don't think that's the right partner for you," that they might have some wonderful insight, and wonderful to miss partner. That could be a tragedy.
"But use wisdom, my daughter," warned the king, "and save your kiss for the man you will marry. Never part with it for the sake
of a stranger." And then discuss some of the attributes of a spouse that we might be looking for or not looking for, comparing them to the princes in the story who have very specific attributes that we would not want in a spouse.
"Marry me, for I am a man among men." The princess watched Prince Peacock lift heavy boulders. Prince Romance came to visit the princess. Prince Treasure Chest came to call.
Dozens of roses.
He brought gifts of gold, jewels, and costly silken robes.
And take some of those apart and allow the girls to really talk about what are the character qualities that I want in a spouse someday, and for great discussion between them and the parents.
A group of my friends took their daughters through the life lessons from The Princess and the Kiss not long ago, and I asked some of those daughters about this life lesson. As you think about the man that God may someday want you to marry, what are some of the character qualities that you should be looking for? What are some things that should be true? Oh, lots of hands. What are some of the things that should be true of that man? Let's start over here.
He should be honest, kind. You want to look for a man that's trustworthy, that you can share your heart towards him, and that he will take heart to that, and that he will encourage you in your trials, and that you can just tell him anything.
He should want to, if you ever have children, to have family devotions, and if you don't, just every night or every day have devotions with you.
You should have a desire to see God.
Okay, the man you marry. Now remember this, because you girls aren't thinking about getting married quite yet. At least I hope you're not. But in not too many years, you are going to be thinking about those things. And your moms and dads are definitely thinking about the man that God may someday want you to marry. I asked Jenny Bishop to explain what moms can expect while going through each life lesson.
There's a short statement about what we're going to be talking about in that lesson. And then we expound on that with a little Bible study devotional type thing with some scriptures. Then there's one particular scripture that can be memorized. And then the creative focus ideas.
In the creative focus, those are specifically activities and object lessons and opportunities for the mothers to reinforce what the lesson is teaching about, and it gives them a hands-on opportunity to really apply that into their daughter's life. It really gave handles to the daughters to connect with the message and something for them to take home and as a reminder of the lesson. And I was surprised how much they remembered from the life lessons as well as the story, just as a result of doing the creative focuses.
Well, we had a little wooden box that we were supposed to paint plainly on the outside with just one color, and then on the inside we were supposed to decorate it and make it look beautiful like diamonds. And that was supposed to represent that even if we're not absolutely beautiful on the outside, purity will make us beautiful on the inside. And that was a really neat thing, I thought.
It's a box like this. So we have here a box. It's kind of plain on the outside. But when you open it up, it doesn't have real diamonds, but it has some shiny little white pieces that look like they could be diamonds. It's beautiful and glittery on the inside. And the emphasis here was that you want to have a heart that is a princess heart. What are some of the characteristics of a princess heart? What does it mean to have a princess heart on the inside?
To love God, keeping your heart pure, keep being pure.
I see another project here. I wonder if somebody would tell me about this. It's a very pretty umbrella. It's got lots of pretty colors on it. And it's open, and on the umbrella it has the word protection. What does that mean, Melody?
It's to represent like your parents or somebody who protects you. And that reminded me, because like to put everything I have under the umbrella of protection and to not like hold any of it out of it and just to give it all to God.
One of the things that Brooke and I did is we didn't use an umbrella, but we used the umbrella concept. And we took a bowl and put it under the water of a running faucet, and then had a little doll that we placed under the bowl. And the bowl symbolized God's protection on us, God's protection over us. And if the doll got out from under the bowl, she got wet, and she was out from under the protection of the Lord and out from under the protection of her mom and dad. And so we just used the bowl to symbolize the umbrella and the doll to symbolize Brooke.
Life lessons in this book is that submission and humility reflect a wise heart. Girls, why is it so important to learn to stay in submission to your parents' authority, and how is that a protection for your future marriage? Why would it be foolish to marry someone that your parents say, that's not God's best for you?
Because your parents know much more than you, and they've already gone through that experience. And if you listen to them, then they'll have much advice for you that will be good.
I want to challenge you girls with one big point here. Could I just plead with you? Don't marry someone that your parents aren't sure that this is God's best for your life. Now, you girls have parents who love the Lord, so I'm especially saying that to you. Marriage is too big, too important, too lifelong a commitment for you to take the risk of marrying someone that your parents say, I don't think that's God's best for your life. And the scripture says a wise person listens to counsel. So listen to your parents' counsel on this point. It's really, really important.
The next day, a common man came to the castle. He asked to see the princess. The man was dressed in farmer's clothes and did not look like the suitors who had lately come to call. Strong and handsome, his hands were rough from working in the king's fields, and his face was tanned from the sun. Who is he? The servants wondered as he was led through the castle. The man was taken to the royal garden, where the princess and her parents were walking among the rose bushes. The farmer bowed humbly and addressed the king and queen. May I speak with your daughter?
One of the parts of this story, The Princess and the Kiss, that I thought was so neat was when the farmer came to ask the king and queen if he could talk with their daughter. And there's a beautiful picture in the book of him bowing. He's on one of his knees before the king and queen, and the princess is kind of in the background, waiting to hear what's going to happen. And the farmer said to the king and queen, may I speak with your daughter? If there's a man who wants to marry you, one of the important things to look for is to say, how does he respond to authority? And one of the ways you can tell that is by how he respects your parents' authority. That's why it's a good thing if a young man wants to court you, he wants to ask you out, or he wants to marry you, to say, before we can talk about that, would you please talk to my parents? And then this princess and this farmer, they just waited for the parents to give permission. When you have your parents' blessing on your courtship, on your dating, on your marriage, you will have more of God's blessing in that relationship.
That's Nancy Lee DeMoss speaking to the next generation about some really important things. Are you having these kinds of conversations with your daughter? The book you've been hearing about, The Princess and the Kiss, will help generate these kinds of discussions. We'll send you a copy when you support Revive Our Hearts with a gift of any amount. We'll also include the companion workbook, Life Lessons from The Princess and the Kiss. Ask for these two resources when you call with your support. The number is 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Or just visit reviveourhearts.com. Now, what if you're not proud of your past? How can you talk with your daughter about purity if she's likely to ask some uncomfortable questions?
My greatest fear with having children, and especially with a little girl, is that she would one day ask me, when I tried to explain to her about purity, that she would ask me, Mommy, were you pure? And coming from a life of immorality, I thought I could never tell her that, because then I would have no credibility with her to teach her these truths.
Well, tomorrow we'll hear from some moms who face that very situation. Please be here for Revive Our Hearts.
For my daughters, I need to let them in on my failures. I have told them of my failures, and I want them to learn from that and to see that when we sin, there is a consequence, and when we obey, there are great rewards.
Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.